Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's version of Raising Expectations. And that's why we're here. It's our prayer and our efforts to raise your expectations, to build you up, and to help you realize with the Lord in your life and the faith that you can have in your heart, anything can happen. And that's why we're here, to pump you up and to tell you good things. We're excited tonight. We have some very, very special guests with us. And as I always try to do quickly, because you've asked me to, many of the texts that I receive each week, you will say things like, "We just love your co-hosts." And I'll tell you what, there's no greater people anywhere than the team that God has put together. They bless my life, and I'm glad they bless you. I'm Pastor Joe Schofield, and as you know, we have on our team Dr. Paul Hall, who's a retired pastor, a theologian who's not retired. That's our saying ever since I goofed that up about 4 months ago. But anyway, he's a teacher. He's loved by everybody out here on the West Coast now. And Paul does an incredible job once we get into sharing and caring and talking about things that matter. Love you, brother. Glad that you're here. We go back 50 years together. He's older than me, though, probably by, no, actually I am. Sorry, Paul. But anyway, it was good to have him there. And then we also have with us Commander Rob and his wife, Nancy Hansen. Rob is a Top Gun, retired Top Gun pilot and a squadron leader. He trained folks how to fly that F-14. And as I used to say a long time ago, he's going to teach me how to fly a Piper Cub someday, and I'm going to buzz people like he does. But anyway, he is a tremendous pilot, but more than that, he's a tremendous man. He loves God. He loves this nation. And he loves his beautiful wife, Nancy, who is such an asset to him. She has so many great things she always shares with us. Nancy, we appreciate you. And you are now Commander Nancy, who takes good care of Rob. And
that works absolutely out.
Excellent from the beginning.
Also,
yes, I know that's hard. We'll take it. That's good. We also have Dr. Craig Thayer, and he's a surgeon. He and his wife, Nancy, who is a nationally known health and wellness coach, a great lady of faith also, both of them. He's a trauma surgeon. They have just moved to Georgia, so they're back there. She's learning how to become a Georgia peach, and he is busy learning how to take care of people in a new hospital and his activities that he's working there. They're away at a Boy Scout camp. She's a national director, I think, with Boy Scouts. She's got two fine boys. An Eagle Scout. Oh, he's something. There's something. Wow. They build all those things. I can't even hang a picture on a wall without the picture falling, let alone Mitt Rob, maybe the whole wall the way I do it. But in any event, they're excellent with what they do. So we're really glad that they're here. We have tonight with us, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a great time hearing what they have to say and then sharing back and forth a little bit. As you have seen in our social media through the week, we have with us Pastor Rafael Cruz. And he is the father of Senator Ted Cruz, who we all respect so much in our government. And he is the man who I'm sure not only loved by his son, but by his family. And I know that he's, as a pastor, is a beloved man of God with people in many, many places. I heard him 4 years ago at a Republican conference there in Plano, Texas. And Pastor, you blessed my life. You blessed everybody there.
Amen.
And it was great. It's just a blessing. Blessing to have you with us. So Amen. Glad you're with us tonight. Amen. Right, and then right. Also, my friend from many, many years, Charles Lingerfeld, a congressional candidate there in Dallas. And Charles is probably the expert on the Kurdistan nation, the Kurds, as we well know, north of Iraq there. And he is beloved by the Kurdish people. He's written some great books and blessed them in many ways. And he is with us, has great things he's going to be sharing with us. He's blessed my life for a long time. And we're thankful that you would all be with us together. Now we get to meet somebody that I haven't had the pleasure of meeting yet, but Pastor Robert Summers. I've heard so many wonderful things. And I'm going to let Charles say a word about you, because he could introduce both of you a little bit. Charles, if you would, give us a little more insight. And here's the way we'll do this. The books you've written, we've kind of told the people that we were pretty upset there when Hamas was dropping over 4,000 missiles there on our friends in Israel. And we began to look at that and Hamas and what's happening and what's gone on since then. We thought we might address that a little bit tonight. And then also a little bit about where we stand as we the people and what we can do. And A Time for Action, Pastor Cruz, your book has challenged me also. And then I understand, as you share more with us about Pastor Summers working with people way back with the Cross and the Switchblade, what a wonderful time that was and what a ministry there that you've gone on. Charles, fill us in a little bit, would you? And then we'll open this up. And I know that Rob and Nancy and Pastor Paul, we can't wait to get involved with you. Charles, share with us, would you, sir?
Okay, let me tell you first that it's good to have Commander Nancy with us tonight.
Yeah!
Thank you.
Yeah!
God bless you.
That's right.
Yeah.
She's in charge.
Yeah, back in 1972, I had the wonderful privilege of meeting my dear friend Robert Summers, who had at that time just completed a series of teachings with young people out of the Houston area who were dropouts, really and frankly, from society, into drugs, in trouble with the law. And we had a ministry in Buffalo, Texas going that we established that year in 72. And it was by the ordination of God and his handiwork that that work came into being. And not many times do you experience a near-to-death illness, as I did at that time in 71, after my dad had passed away. Coming back from Tennessee, I contracted infectious hepatitis some way and became deathly sick. And in 3 days, God healed me through the laying on of hands of 8 women in church. And he miraculously cleared me, my eyes, the blood, everything. All the symptoms were gone immediately. And that doctor, the local doctor, Dr. Archie Vanway, who graduated from Texas A&M University, and the leader of the medical school in College Station once told me, after I'd met and after Euthyrama and et cetera, he told me Dr. Archie Vanway is the most brilliant doctor who ever came out of our medical school in College Station. Well, Dr. Vanway never forgot me being healed. And so in 1972, when I went to him and talked with him about this 3-story building in Buffalo, and if we could use it for a youth center on the weekends, he was touched by that story. And he said, come down Monday, Parthena and I will lead you through, you and Carolyn, and we'll see if it can accommodate your mission. He agreed to give me a 10-year, $10 contract on that building, and we opened in August of 72. And in the fall of that year, Robert Summers came to Buffalo and spoke at Youth-O-Rama and became our good friend.
Amen.
I've known him ever since. Our paths have crossed ever since. And 20 years ago, God brought another man into my life, Rafael Cruz, who wanted to talk with me quite a bit about his son, Ted, who was working in Austin at the time. We became friends, and we've been friends ever since. So God brings good people into your life And these are my two of my best friends who walk God's green earth today. I highly recommend them to you tonight and to our viewing and listening audience. God bless each one of you.
Well, thank you, Charles. Thank you. We love you too.
Amen. What a story. Well, you know, your book, A Time for Action, maybe jumping in that direction to begin. Boy, that challenged me, Pastor. And I can see our other two brothers here in action. And I can tell you what, the team here, they have been serving God all their life. One of the things I love about Rob is after all the things he did, next to the CIA and everything, like, one of his favorite lines is, I can't tell you that, I'll have to kill you. But it's really a thing that he's done in his life. He's always had to be. He came back and he went to work in his church, teaching sixth grade boys about Jesus and the Bible and helping them in his Christian school and things like this. So we loved the story about your book, A Time for Action, living out your faith, living out who you believe in, making a difference. And boy, if we ever needed that, I believe time today is has come for us to stand up and be heard that we believe we're a Judeo-Christian nation. We were put here for a reason. And God has called us, each one of us, not just those big names, but every one of us are called. Would you like to say a word, sir, about your book? We'd love to hear about it.
Well, you know, let me begin by saying, you know, unfortunately, as we are seeing socialism, really communism, flourishing in America today and being promoted from the highest places in government, too many people are just drinking the Kool-Aid. And I will say I have an advantage because I've seen the other side, and it isn't pretty. I've seen communism firsthand. As a matter of fact, because of fighting communism, I ended up in prison and tortured. But by the grace of God, I was able to come to the greatest country on the face of the earth.
Amen.
And so because of that background and seeing communism firsthand, I have a deep love for liberty. And a deep love for America. You know, America is such a unique country. And it is unfortunate that the greatness of America is not being taught in our public schools anymore. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you look at the very first document that was written in America, was the Mayflower Compact. Before those pilgrims even got off the boat, they wrote this document, and it began by stating their purpose for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. That was their stated purpose. It continued. In the presence of God, we covenant and combine ourselves together to form a civic body politic. In other words, some form of government. Why? For our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid. What are the ends aforesaid? The glory of God and the advancement of the Christian nation. So when we realize that, we realize we are the only country on the face of the earth that was founded as a Christian country toward the purpose of advancing the gospel. Amen. And America has actually exported the gospel to over 90% of the world. We send more evangelists around the world than any other country. And America is responsible for the majority of the evangelism of the world. And this is why America has been so blessed. Our founding fathers were committed Christian men. Over half of all the signers of the Declaration of Independence were seminary graduates. Deeply committed men of God. That's our foundation. But you know, Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Unfortunately, today we're seeing a systematic destruction of our foundations. There is a method in their madness, and the method is to destroy our foundations. Our Christian foundations are under attack. And unfortunately, if I could blame anyone, I blame the pastors. Because a great many pastors in America are just hiding behind the pulpits, scared to death of not being politically correct.
Yes.
And I tell them it's about to become biblically correct instead of politically correct. Pastors have to stop just tickling men's and women's ears and really preach the whole counsel of God as the Apostle Paul talked about. Mm-hmm. And so it is for us to drive the culture and not allow the culture to influence the church, which is what is happening today.
Mm-hmm. So, amen. Elusive, let him go preach. Boy, that's good.
That's right. Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Well, really, it is very clear.
Sure
it is the church fault what is happening in America. We've seen the systematic erosion of mm-hmm. our fundamental values. We saw it in 1962 when the prayer was removed from school. Mm-hmm. Prayer was something that was the way every school started for hundreds of years. 1962, the Bible was banned from all public schools. Mm-hmm. Before that, the Bible had been the primary textbook from kindergarten all the way to grad school. But the thing that is the most shameful, in spite of these two abominable decisions, the church remains silent. Their excuse is a political issue. How can you call prayer a political issue?
Amen.
How can you call Bible study a political issue? But that's exactly what the church did. The consequence of that silence, teen pregnancy skyrocketed after 1963, and so did violent crime. 10 years later, 1963, the baby in the womb did not have that unalienable right to life from our Creator, as stated in the Declaration of Independence. They legalized abortion. Again, the church remained silent. Same excuse, it's a political issue. Over 60 million babies have been murdered by abortion in America. Proverbs chapter 6 says 7 things God hates. One of those is shed innocent blood. What blood could be more innocent than the blood of 60 million babies murdered by abortion? Mm-hmm. But for our silence, we become complicit in that murder. Mm-hmm. I know that's hard to hear, but you know, God has called me to step on the toes of pastors. That's my ministry. It's a toe-stepping ministry. And then we saw it in 2015 when it was decided that God was wrong when he said in Genesis 1:27, let us create man in our own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. And today we have 54 or 76 genders. Today, homosexual marriage is the law of the land. And unfortunately, we have churches today performing same-sex marriages. Mm-hmm. God help us.
Amen.
Help us. Yes. God help us.
Yes. And listen to me. To whom much is given, much is required.
That's right.
We carry the burden of bringing the light. God says, you are the light of the world. After Jesus, the light of the world, he said, you are the light of the world. And my question to pastors is, what are you doing with your light? Because light is worthless unless you point it to darkness.
Darkness. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And,
you know, so the problem is, we cannot continue to just play church inside the four walls. Mm-hmm. We got to take the church out there to the marketplace. We got a whole population dying in darkness, and we have the light. How can we remain silent? And I'm going to make one more statement, and I'll shut up.
Keep going.
Came to America right after the American Revolution. He said, not until I went into the pulpits of America and saw these pulpits flame with righteousness. Let me ask you a question. Are the pulpits of America today flame with righteousness? Or are we seeing too many pastors tickling men's ears? He said, not until I saw the pulpits of America flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of its genius and power. And then he said something very sobering. He said, America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. the goodness of America is under relentless attack.
Amen.
By the ungodly forces that are trying to impose Marxism upon ourselves. And I'll tell you what, it is time the church wakes up. You know, a dear friend of mine by the name of Bonnie Pounds, she had applied for a 501c3 over a year ago. She just had her 501c3 denied because she actually goes to churches and tells people, vote according to principles Bible. And the IRS, and this is astonishing, the IRS says you cannot tell people to vote according to biblical principles because biblical principles are Republican. This came out of the IRS.
I did read that as well.
It's pathetic.
Let me tell you the danger in this. If that's the case, any pastor that preaches on the sanctity of life can also be told, oh, that you cannot say that because that is Republican politics. Right. So they are going to use that ruling of the IRS. I mean, I'm using it in a different term. I said, look, even the IRS says that biblical values are Republican. That means every Christian ought to be voting Republican. But they're going to use it to come against the church. And we must be aware that communism cannot cohabit with the church.
That's
communism
true.
Must destroy God because government must become your God. So we are in a spiritual battle. We are in a spiritual battle. And, you know, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 says, I set before you today life and death, the blessing and the curse. And then God says, so choose life that you and your descendants might live. We are not even fighting for ourselves. We're fighting for the future of our children and our children's children. And if we lose this battle, they will not have a future.
That's right. Amen. Paul, what do you think of that, Dr. Hall?
Well, I tell you, my heart resonates with everything you're saying, Pastor or Raphael. Every time we're blessed to have guests such as you, and I did a little homework and read about your backgrounds and some of the things you've been, involved with along the way. There's so much experience and so many years of fighting the battle. Pastor Summers, I read a thing today from your, I think it's your church website, where there's a statement. It says, I simply argue that the cross be raised again at the center of the marketplace as well as on the steeple of the church. I'd like to pursue that a little bit because, I totally agree that the church is withdrawn from culture. I think we've been culturalized in to be hip and cool and culturally relevant, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And somewhere in there, you know, the message has just been watered down to inconceivable. But I'd like for you to address that, Pastor Summers, if you would, a little bit about raising the cross at the center of the marketplace. I thought that was really good insight, and I think it'd be worthwhile our listeners to hear about that.
Well, thank you for asking me, and thank you for having me on this wonderful program. I'm already inspired. I love to be around Brother Raphael Cruz. He comforts the afflicted, but he also afflicts the comfortable too. And I appreciate his ministry. And I pastor Mountain Creek Community Church. We're on top of Prayer Mountain's highest point, overlooks Dallas-Fort Worth. It's a beautiful, lovely 100-acre campus. But we have a ministry in the marketplace. I meet regularly with city leaders and pray with them. And just this morning, we had a huddle with several of our leading businessmen. We start the week by praying together over our city, over our businesses, our families, our marriages, over the church. And so I really feel like the church is in a shift right now and that we need to get out of the walls and relate to the community. I appreciate these pastors who've had these great ministries and relating to the community, and they've been all a great inspiration to me. And so that statement is not original, as you know, with me, but I've used that nonetheless, that we do need to be out there as agents of the gospel, as change agents, and as salt and light involved in our city. And over the years, I've had to get to know everybody almost at City Hall in Dallas. It's a highly restricted area where we've built. It's a park area. It's the only hills in North Texas. If you've ever driven through North Texas, you probably have noticed it's all flat land. But they protected these beautiful wooded hills, and we're right in the middle of that. And I've gotten acquainted with everybody just about, and as we built this campus. But I've gotten to know that that really is the role of the church. I'm glad the Lord forced me into it, to get to know the business leaders and the community leaders, the civic leaders in our city. And that's what I mean by that. We need to be out where people are, and among the broken, and among the needy and the marginalized. Our congregation is not all rich people by any means. We have the ministry to the broken, and people come hurting to our mountain, and they get ministry. We have Saturday morning healing ministries. But I just appreciate this program, the forum that you've got here to minister into the homes of people, the need to be involved in their nation. I appreciate everything Raphael has said. He has spoken the similar message at our church in the Christian Value Summit that we held 3 or 4 years ago. And so that's my statement there. It's not original with me, but we need to raise up the cross of Christ and preach the cross out in the marketplace, be available to the civic leaders and business leaders of our community.
I think that's true.
Rob, let me preface you.
You go ahead.
Sometimes I think about Rob, and I think about, and in fact, we talk about this, pastors, how dedicated he was and giving of his life and his service and seeing the things he thought. And again, Paul and I have shared sometimes, Rob was a commander and Rob was trained, and I see this quite often. Love this guy too. I love the guys in our family and our ladies too. But I mean, he was trained. When you see something that needs to be done, almost like Pastor Raphael was saying, we're called. He would get his team together and his man, we're going to go do this. We're going to lay it out. We're going to know what it is. If it's going out into the cities, if it's getting the gospel preached, we're going to get out there and we're going to do it. And sometimes we think it must be so frustrating for Rob, and Rob's an Annapolis graduate and he really knows about our nation, and to sit back and see these things. Rob, share a little bit about that. You were headed that way, I'm sure, but I think about you sometimes, brother, on that.
Well, thank you, Dr. Joe. First of all, I have to tell everybody here that I'm the token Lutheran, I guess, in this group. I was born and raised in Wisconsin, originally under the American Lutheran Church, and it evolved into, I guess, the LCA, the Lutheran Church in America. It wasn't the Missouri Synod. It wasn't the Wisconsin Synod. But all of that stuff ended up being, I think, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA. And this would have been, 20 some years ago. It became, much like many church organizations, somewhat, how do I put this? Well, less biblical, more political, and more not quite scripture related. But that's part of what I wanted to mention. A couple of other things. One is that I remember a church I went to a long time ago, a Lutheran church, that had a big banner over the doors where you leave. And it said, the real service starts here, meaning after the church service, you get out there into the real world and start doing what needs to be done, which is, again, very, very much like Jesus saying, you know, go forth and proclaim the gospel to all nations. And that's something I think a lot of people forget. The other thing I think that's really important, and it sort of ties into everything everybody is saying, is that Americans seem to have lost courage. We used to be strong, independent, faithful, patriotic, hardworking, and just everything that was good about America. You know, we were great because we were good. And I think a lot of that is based on courage. I think we are losing courage to stand up and push back against all of the evil forces that are out there that are trying to destroy our nation and our belief and our standards and our principles. And that's where I would like more than anything else for Americans to regain their courage and start saying or start pushing back against everything from, you know, the school boards pushing, you know, critical race theory. And that's even happening in the military and unfortunately also at the service academies, which really bothers me. But I think also we need to get that courage to start sounding off against everything that is going against everything this country has stood for since its founding. Yeah. And so I'm hoping that Americans start regaining or getting their courage back, because from courage, all the other virtues follow. And I don't know if that was Plato or Aristotle, but I think one of those two guys said something like that. Courage is the basis by which all the other virtues come. And so that's really, I guess, my message, that we've become, gutless and afraid because we don't want to speak out against what we're seeing. And that needs to change. We need to get tough. We need to be courageous, and we need to start pushing back, because if we don't, they win.
Yeah, they win. Yes, we must do that. Absolutely.
Need a little Romans 1:6. Not ashamed of that gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Anybody?
Well, I think we could just look at courage, and it is a matter of identity. Many Christians don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. They don't realize we are children of the King, and if God is for us, who can be against us?
Who can be against us? That's right.
You know, there is a scripture that is very critical to this, and that is a scripture we all know as a Great Commission, Matthew 28:18. But I want to look at it in a different manner. It starts by saying, Jesus says, all power or all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. What are the next three words? Go ye therefore. That is a delegation of authority. Jesus is saying, because all authority has been given unto me, therefore you go. God has delegated his authority to us to move forward in the name of Jesus. But most Christians don't know who they are. They think they're these wimpy people that are to be in the back of the bus and not standing at the forefront.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
I'm liking what Raphael says here. This is great. Yeah.
That's why I always really respect Charles over there, too. Charles ran for Congress there in Dallas and went up against some pretty political forces. Oh, my goodness. Oh, and everywhere that we went, watching Charles, you remember Pastor Summers? Testimony of Pastor. Everywhere he went when he spoke, I like to sit back as a pastor and observe the people, what's going on. All of them, they would just listen to what Charles would say. They love this man. And to the person, not just John Nyland, the old guard or tackle for the Cowboys, who everybody would agree with because he's a big dude. But the rest of the people, Charles, if you remember, when he would speak, they would say, I respect that man, because he said, like you did, Raphael, he would stand up. He said, I'm here because God put me here. And my message that I have for the nation, let alone for others, is because God gave it to me.
And John was on the show last year, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Charles.
Yeah, with Charles. Exactly.
I remember that.
Yeah. I'm getting flashbacks now.
That was excellent. Dr. Paul?
Yeah. Did Raphael, hit you anywhere? Raphael, I have a question for you. In part of what I read about your background today, it said that you joined the, and correct me if I have misunderstood this, you joined the Cuban Revolution as a teenager and endured quite a bit through some beatings and imprisonment for protesting regime. I also read an interesting phrase that said that in that time you became aware a little bit later that you didn't know that Castro was a communist. Is that an accurate statement? Now, the reason I ask that question is...
That is an accurate statement.
Okay. The reason I ask the question is that it appears to me that through our education system today, that our children are so ignorant of the truth and the facts of the matter that they really can't seem to rightly discern the good from the bad, the righteous from the evil, kind of thing. Is that an accurate? Is that a good parallel to what you experienced, perhaps?
Yes, Castro portrayed himself as a freedom fighter, as a Robin Hood that was trying to right the wrongs of society, and of course, that is a message that tickles the ears of young people. Mm-hmm. So as young teenagers, we were all duped by Fidel Castro. Mm-hmm. It was not until that he made a statement that I heard another past president made the almost identical statement. The rich are evil, they oppress the poor, and we need to redistribute the wealth.
Yes.
And of course, that's right out of Karl Marx. Mm-hmm. And so then he portrayed himself as a Marxist-Leninist and began confiscating private property, began putting pastors in prison, began basically attacking the family and began indoctrinating children from the age of 2 to 3 years old. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, one interesting story, soldiers will come into a kindergarten class and will tell the children, all right, close your eyes and pray to God for candy. Come on, close your eyes and pray to God for candy. All right, open your eyes. Where's the candy? No candy. Okay, close your eyes again and pray to Fidel for candy. Mm-hmm. And while their eyes were open, the soldiers very quietly placed candy on every desk. Mm-hmm. The concept was... government must become your God. And this is classic Marxism. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's what we're seeing in America today.
Right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What you say, Raphael, and the gentleman who asked the question, that's the same kind of front that we see happening here in America today. Mm-hmm. You see it dressed up as socialism, but underneath it is Marxist rudiments or Marxist principles or Marxist philosophy. And you don't dare, of course, I call them communist anyway, and they come back at me and they say, how dare you call these people, these socialist Democrats, communists? What right do you have to call them communists? Well, you may not see them as full-fledged communists now because they're dressing all of it up on the front side so that they can gain the confidence of the American people and then do their underwork first and then come at your property. Come at your guns, take them away, etc. They don't come at you, a full-fledged communist right away. When Saddam Hussein went down into the country, the other Arab country, to overthrow them and take them over because they were an oil-rich company country down there. He sent his people out ahead of all those warriors to the schools and the school children and passed out little books about a half inch thick. And on the front part or on the back part of the book, because the Arabs read from the back to the front. We call it from the back to the front. We read from the left to the right, but had his photo on there. And they told the children and the teachers, here is your new leader. And then they sent in the troops to overwhelm Kuwait and take it over. Well, that didn't happen because the New World Order didn't like it. He wasn't cooperating on their terms. And so the New World Order, as you know, George H.W. Bush and others sent down troops to prevent that from happening. We know of the first Gulf War. We know of the next Gulf War when George W. Bush was in there. But I have one of those books. One of my Kurdish friends had three of them, and he gave me one of those books. And inside the book was the Arabic writings. And I asked my Kurdish friend, what are they saying in teaching these children? And they're saying, he was saying, these are no less than communistic principles that he was seeking to enforce upon the minds of the school children and get them to follow him, and then by force would get the parents to follow as well. And if they didn't follow, they would be slaughtered. And so that's what I'm trying to say, is how it's being conducted here in America. We see the sly fox who has come in with tails of fire, trying to burn up the fields of the American farmers and the American people and destroy our foundations. They strike at the foundations of our government and the foundations of our nation and try to cause them to collapse. And then they step in like the good boys. And so, Rafael, you're right. That's what happened in Cuba, and it's happening here in America. And if our men of God in America don't stand up and call it what it is from the pulpits of America, have our pulpits ablaze, we are going to be in severe problems with our children and grandchildren.
Well, you know, Charles, George Santayana once said, if we fail to learn the lessons of history, we are doomed to repeat them. And, you know, our universities across America are filled with Marxist professors.
Yes.
If you ask a college kid today, what is the definition of socialism? This is what they tell you, because it's what these professors are telling them. Socialism is a control of the means of production by the people. That is a lie. Mm-hmm. Socialism, according to Karl Marx, is a control of the means of production by almighty government. The people have no say. And again, looking at history, socialism always evolves into communism, because the only difference is that when all the means of production are on the control of the government becomes a totalitarian government and controls every aspect of and what it does is enslaves everyone.
That's right.
Okay. I have a question. Mr. Cruz, can you tell our listeners when and how you came to the United States?
Yes, oh, that's a great story.
I came to the United States in 1957. As I said, there was, prior to Castro, there was a dictator in Cuba by the name of Batista.
Batista.
Backed by the Communist Party in Cuba. And he was, he had a military dictatorship. Killed thousands of dissidents. So the revolution started in the high schools and universities with student protests, which were met by billy clubs from the police and from the army. And then in the midst of that, a young man who had been the president of the student union at the University of Havana by the name of Fidel Castro, along with his brother and a handful of young university kids, attacked an army garrison. Most of them were killed, but the Castro brothers were captured and put in prison. And what the Batista regime did was they exiled them to Mexico. So they began plotting a revolution from Mexico. And as I said, that revolution started in the high schools and the universities. And it first started like the resistance in France. you know, and I was involved in that. It was called the underground in Cuba, doing acts of sabotage and buying weapons and training people for the coming revolution. And it was during that time, as a matter of fact, it is very interesting, and I share this in my book. There were five different occasions in which I should have been killed. I was in Santiago when Castro was supposed to land. I was supposed to be one of the people that was going to be part of the support troops for Castro attacking that same army garrison that he had attacked years before. Well, Castro didn't land until several days later, so my life was spared, but I was captured along with three other friends when we were leaving the city. This time, Castro had landed. The army was in high alert, and these soldiers were screaming, "To the firing squad, to the firing squad." I thought it would be my last day on earth. As we were being walked into that army garrison, all four of us saw a guy that was going to college with us. He was the son of a major in the Batista regime. He didn't know we were on the underground. We all four called his name. They had arrested him by mistake. He came to us, he vouched for us, and we were released. And again, I said, oh boy, I got lucky. Yeah. And there were five different, when I was arrested the second time, typically the Batista regime just would torture people for 2 or 3 days, and then they would appear on the streets, shot with a pistol in their hands. And the headline was always the same. They tried to attack an army patrol and they got killed in self-defense. In my case, the colonel said to me, we're going to release you, but if a bomb explodes in this city, we're coming to get you. And I remember saying to this colonel, but colonel, how can I be responsible for what other people do? He said, I don't give a flip. If a bomb explodes in this city, we're coming to get you. So I was picked up from the army headquarters, all bloodied up, all beaten up, and, in really bad shape. And I realized I couldn't stay at home and endanger the life of my parents and my little sister. And I tried to go to the mountains. There was no way to the mountains. And the revolution advised me, they know who you are. You are a security threat now, because if you contact anybody, we're going to be in trouble. You need to get out of the country. Mm-hmm. But I had a straight A student in high school, so I wrote to three universities in the United States. University of Texas was the first one to accept me, and that's how I became a Texan. With my, my acceptance letter, I got a 4-year student visa from the U.S. Embassy. So I came to the U.S. legally on a student visa. By the time I graduated, Castro was an outright communist. I was able to get political asylum, which was created for communism, for people fleeing communism. And shortly after that, I became a resident and then became a citizen. And I am just so proud to be an American. As a matter of fact,
we're proud to have you, sir.
And that's right.
I always push back when people call me a Cuban American, and I tell them, no, I am not a Cuban American. I am an American who was born in Cuba. This is my country. This is my home. I'm first and foremost a Christian, and secondly, I'm an American.
That's an extremely scary story that you know. What you went through, but thank God you're here.
Oh, yeah.
God bless you.
But, you know, it was not until I had been in this country for 15 years that I realized that I was unlucky five occasions when God spared my life. God had a purpose for my life.
That's right.
And it was
That's right.
And I didn't understand that till I surrendered my life to Christ when I was 36 years old.
Good for you. We've actually found a lot of people from outside the United States who have lived in regimes like that make the best Americans.
They appreciate it more than some
because
Americans
they understand. And what we in America are faced with is, you know, the whole leftist ideology is being aided and abetted by the media, by the universities, yes. Unfortunately, the public school system now as well, mm-hmm. when you talk about critical race theory, and the military as well. Now they're apparently pushing all this stuff. So we have a lot of institutional problems that are pushing all the things that are wrong and incorrect and lead to the very things that we worry about, which is, you know, the socialism communism part. And yet people still, by the millions and tens of millions, don't see it.
Well, you know, Rush Limbaugh called them the low information voters. And unfortunately, too many people are in darkness. You know, I often say there are three kinds of people in the world. There are people that make things happen. There are people that watch things happen. And then there are people who say, what happened? And there are millions of those.
Indeed.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to take a break here for a second very quickly. We want to be that group that makes things happen, because one, right. We want to pray hard about it, and two, we want to be able to keep raising expectations going. And we have a website, www. You can find it right there. It's called, what is it again? BBS Radio.
BBS Radio.
Yeah, come on, Jill. BBSradio.com/ Raising Expectations with a capital. Take you right to our page. Ladies and gentlemen, in all seriousness, there's a PayPal tab button there. If you can help us a little bit of a donation, we're just taken care of by all of you. All of us are in a situation where we just give what we can, but we could use the financial support. We have people giving $20 a month or $25 a month. And here's the great thing. They cannot silence BBS Radio. This message is going to go out from brothers and sisters and people like this all across the nation and basically around the world. You know, we reach around the world right now. There's about 300,000 people that can tune in and hear what's being said on this program. So that's why we thank God for men like we have here tonight that are here to share their hearts with you. We're going to have them back. But if you go to that website, bbsradio.com/capital raising, capital E expectations, all one word, and hit that tab button. We'll be very, very thankful. And just check the social media. You'll see it on there.
Robin, hey, Dr. Joe, yeah. Should you mention that BBS Radio has moved from California to Texas?
That's right.
Hey, folks, I wonder why that happened.
We're going to Houston, Texas, and that's where BBS Radio will be, in Houston. And they're getting ready, and so just get ready down there. You know somebody in Texas? You want to do a commercial with us? Hey, we're ready to go. We're ready to help everybody we can. So, again, pastors and being with us tonight, special. We're privileged to have you with us. We're thankful that you took the time. Most of all, we're thankful you've given your lives to Christ and to people and bless and help people. 15 seconds, each one of you. You could say one thing to the people tonight. What would you say? Charles, and then Brother Summers, and then Raphael. What would you say to the people? Give 15 seconds.
I would say to all those people out there that's listening to my voice tonight, be mindful of the Kurdish people and what they have gone through, from the slayings and murderings and gassings of a notorious dictator, Saddam Hussein, and their yearning for freedom and independence. And let's stand with the Kurdish people for freedom and independence, that one day we can see a Kurdish nation formed in the Middle East, because they are standing with America.
Amen.
Great.
Amen. Great. Pastor Summers, real quick.
I say stand firm. The word says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Stand up for what you believe. I mean, the Lord's on our side. My goodness, let's stand firm. Let's persevere. Let's overcome. We were born again to be victorious.
Amen. On it. I'll Rob on it. That's it. That's it.
You bet.
Raphael, Pastor?
You know, Mordecai told his niece, Esther, how do you know that you have not been called for such a time as this?
Right.
And I will say to my fellow Americans, to my Christian fellow Americans, you have been called for such a time as this.
Amen.
You must be the head and not the tail.
That's right.
You must understand what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, silence in the face of evil is evil itself.
Amen.
God will not hold us guiltless. Amen. Not to speak
That's right.
is to Amen. Speak. That's right. Not to act is to act.
Amen. That's right. Huh, Paul? Your favorite guy, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Right on. Amen. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for being with us tonight. Do help us out if you can and pray for these gentlemen. We hope to have them back for you again later on. Have a blessed week. Tune us in. Go to bbsradio.com/racing expectations. All week long, you can listen to this program. You can watch it on TV or you can listen to it. It will be up. We got to sign off. Brothers, God bless and keep you. Charles, bless you, brother.
Bless you.
See you guys.
It was a pleasure to meet you all.
Great meeting you all.
Thanks for being with us.
Was a Lutheran. Okay?
The Lutheran, that's right. Thanks so much.
I had to get that in.
We'll see you later.
God bless you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556 or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.